Professor Frank.
The chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not the next speaker. I'm only the next questioner. I really appear under false pretenses. I only wanted to raise two or three questions which require considerable daring on my behalf, as I'm not a political scientist. I'm not one used to much constitutional debate, and I want to avoid bringing in economic issues this afternoon, which will be discussed at a later meeting. But in the inspiring talks that we've heard this morning, I just felt that I missed a cause or a link or a clue, and I want to put the question as to whether this is an omission which we can afford to make. Now, in his recent presidential address to the British Association, Professor Le Gros Clark says there were 3,500 million specimens of the human race, and as I just mentioned to a friend, the word specimens is rather significant as coming from scientists, and it's perhaps a word we wouldn't use here. And of these 3,500 million specimens of the human race, only a very few are resident in the Western countries. And yet, we've been able to discuss important constitutional and political principles here this morning, and one might almost think that the world outside Western Europe and part of the United States and part of South America is non-existent. Now, is this an unconscious avoidance of the problems which are really weighing on our minds? That's the question I want to ask. I mean, is it really possible for us to speak in terms as if we are still debating the important historical influences that have formed European society and its offshoots? Are we dodging the signs of chaos in many other parts of the world deliberately or unconsciously or out of the unconscious fear? I mean, isn't it really rather extraordinary? We are seeing one continent gradually dissolving into chaos before our eyes. I refer to Africa. We have seen similar chaos in the Far East. We are threatened with very uncomfortable occurrences in another continent, in the Americas. And here we are discussing forms of government, whether democracy is based on the liberal idea or vice versa. Now, I subscribe to all the things said this morning. They enthuse me. And quite frankly, I'm afraid of the enthusiasm. Because it's not enough. I mean, what do we really say to the African, the Indian, the Asian people, to the South American people, who have not got the forms of government or institution or economic arrangements which will enable them to cope with their problems? They haven't got them. It's no use, say, talking to somebody in one of the ex-colonial African territories, let's say the Belgian Congo, about the free market, or about liberalism. That particular inquirer wouldn't know how to apply what we're suggesting in the absence of the institutional framework which has now been destroyed. And in other parts of Africa, it's also been destroyed. And the enemies of democracy and of liberalism are well aware of this fact. I mean, we know perfectly well that the enemies of what we stand for have wrested one part of the world after the other from within our grasp. debarred from carrying our message from having persons to whom to carry it. When I was recently in Addis Ababa, whenever I found myself criticizing plans, dear chaps, planning of various kinds, I found sympathy of an academic kind, but it didn't go home. The criticisms didn't go home. Why didn't they go home? Because these people said, well, how are we going to carry on without government activities of one kind or another, which make us depend on really what in the last resort is the state. We have nothing else. We haven't got the time to enable the institutions of the free market to develop, or we don't want the invasion of our areas by Europeans, or we don't want imperialism, or we don't want something which is necessary if we were to transmit or communicate our form of institutional arrangement. And the real danger that, in my opinion, threatens us at the moment is that we are losing out, willy-nilly, in our influence over a very large part of the human race. And I'm only raising this question in the hope that somebody more able than I am will be able to tell us how we stem the tide. Before closing, I'd only like to mention that there are thousands of students from these areas studying in Czechoslovakia and in Russia. And they're not discussing the kind of things we're discussing here. I don't say they're writing not discussing them, but the fact is they just are not discussing them. And that means that they are preparing, indoctrinating, and preparing a large number, increasing number, of individuals who will play a part in the economic and political affairs of these millions who are said to be uncommitted. And they are uncommitted in ignorance. They are preparing the leaders of those areas, and they are not discussing our ideas. And this is our challenge. I don't believe that Europe can live in isolation. I don't believe the United States can live in isolation. To be perfectly blunt, I believe that we are cutting ourselves if we think that the mere altering of our arrangement to suit ourselves will really solve our problem. We have got somehow to be able to bring our deeds, insofar as they are accurate, into practical application. And if we can't do that, we will find that we are living in an island which may easily become an island of illusions.